Stelling poll, COP26 is just an eco-fascist, globalist gaslighting operation. By James Stelling poll on November 9, 2021. There are two ways to understand the COP26 pantomime beginning its second week of wasting everyone's time and money in Glasgow, Scotland. One is to read Ephesians 6:12, the other is to recognize it for what it really is. A gigantic eco-fascist gaslighting operation. It's all about the optics. The spectacle of dozens of world leaders and their vast entourages arriving in their fleets of private jets is designed to awe the gullible masses into believing that the climate crisis is real and urgent and the number one priority. The hyperbolic language of imminent doom is designed to generate an air of fear and panic, and something must be done. The clown show of designated cultural influencers, gorilla hugging, whispery voiced Malthusian David Attenborough, Leo DiCaprio, the inevitable doom goblin Greta Thunberg, etc., is aimed at reassuring us. It isn't just politicians who know this to be true. So too do your favorite TV and movie stars and pigtailed, autistic school dropouts. None of this mass propaganda would be possible, however, without the compliance of the media. For the evil spell to work its magic on the beglamored populace, all the papers and TV news operations must be in agreement that A. the event is of paramount newsworthiness and B. that everyone present is speaking and acting in good faith, obviating any need to subject their claims to critical analysis. This is why the lying media establishment, which, of course, now includes big tech and much of the online media, has been working harder than ever to persuade the world that the debate is over. Only a minority of cranks, tinfoil hatters, paid operatives of big oil and science denying deplorables now dispute the reality of the climate crisis, the narrative runs. All the scientists and other experts reached unanimity on the subject long ago, supposedly. Here are some examples of this mainstream media slash big tech gaslighting operation. BBC boss Tim Davies says climate change is no longer a controversial issue. According to the Mail, Davies said when speaking on a panel of media bigwigs organized to coincide with COP26. The overwhelming consensus is that we, as humanity, are causing global warming. There are voices on the fringes, but, in my view, when it comes to due impartiality for the BBC, we are now at a point where we have consensus around that. But then you do get into political debate around policy, speed of change, the social consequences. There is tough stuff to debate, and we will do that as the BBC. Top-rated reader comment below the Mail article, defund the BBC. The public are not fooled. BBC rewrites the history of ClimateGate. ClimateGate was a public relations disaster for the eco-fascists because, via leaked emails, it demonstrated beyond doubt the dishonesty, corruption, malfeasance, intolerance, greed and incompetence of the scientists at the heart of the climate industrial complex's nefarious agenda. So, naturally, the BBC, probably the single biggest cheerleader for that green agenda, has been working overtime to rewrite history and subvert the truth for its own ends. It has made a fake news docudrama called The Trick, in which one of the dodgy shysters caught red-handed in the ClimateGate emails is recast as a heroic and selfless climate scientist harassed by evil, nasty deniers. It has also produced a Radio 4 documentary called The Hack That Changed the World, majoring on the data theft aspect of the story but completely whitewashing the skullduggery of the crooked scientists. Twitter to pre-bunk climate misinformation. According to Axios, Twitter on Monday will roll out a new program designed to pre-bunk climate misinformation or get ahead of false narratives about climate by exposing people to more accurate information about the crisis on its platform. The pre-bunks, which include authoritative information about topics like the science backing climate change and global warming from experts, will appear in users' explore tabs, search portals, and Twitter trends lists. The company says it's working with a range of experts globally to provide context on topics that are going to be discussed during COP26. The company will also host relevant organizations via Twitter Spaces, live conversations. This is a classic case of qui custodiat ipsos custodis? Who guards the guardians? Given Twitter's extreme green agenda bias, there is zero reason to have any faith that its designated experts will combat misinformation. On the contrary, they are much more likely to be promoting it. Breitbart News smeared as leading pusher of climate change denial on Facebook. As Alam Bokhari reported, this was a politically motivated hit job cooked up by the Center for Countering Digital Hate. Another Potemkin front for radical left-slash-climate-industrial-complex vested interests. The basis for this allegation is flimsy indeed. The CCDH study, shared with the Washington Post, alleges that Breitbart News is the most influential of 10 publishers on Facebook that publishes climate change denial content, and then goes on to claim that a write-up of a radio interviewee criticizing far-left Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal is climate change denial. When criticizing a hard-left politician now constitutes climate change denial, you know that the phrase has lost all meaning. But, for the purposes of the eco-fascist narrative, it really doesn't matter whether these allegations are true or not. They are created purely in order to generate negative headlines in the MSM, which can then be used further to intimidate and marginalize skeptics, and to bully and cow those publications still brave and honest enough to run their stories. Even the opposition to COP26 is now mostly controlled opposition. Belatedly, the MSM has run a few token skeptical articles on COP26, perhaps as a sop to the many readers who are incensed that all this climate lunacy is being promoted against their interests and without consulting them. The Spectator, for example, has run a piece by former Chancellor Nigel Lawson, which begins, "Human folly is all too common. But in a long life I have never come across anything remotely as bad as the current climate scare." Lawson goes on, "Decarbonization, in short, would be an unparalleled economic calamity. So how is it that the UK and most of the Western world have signed up to it? The answer can only be conjectural. I suggested at the start that the current climate scare is a quasi-religious hysteria. Mankind seems to have a psychological need for a belief system. Traditionally in the West, this has been Christianity. But with the waning place of Christianity in the modern world, climate catastrophism has emerged to take its place." All perfectly true. So why undermine this sensible message by running it next to an article by the egregious Gavin Schmidt, an activist scientist notorious for pushing the green agenda at NASA? The unfortunate impression given by the juxtaposition of these wildly divergent viewpoints is that climate change is simply a matter of opinion. Having followed this story very closely for nigh on 2 decades, I would suggest that what is being done to our livelihoods, our jobs, our freedoms, our economies and our environment in the name of climate change is far, far too serious to be relegated to the matter of opinion category. Anyone who has looked into the subject honestly will have reached the inescapable conclusion that the climate industrial complex is, with Big Pharma, the most corrupt and rapacious industry in the world. That the environmental scare stories being used to terrify us into submission are groundless, and that the only reason anyone believes otherwise is because over the last 3 or 4 decades the public has been brainwashed with a massive gaslighting operation embracing schools, universities, the bought and paid for media, the institutions, Hollywood and big business. It's a sign of how bad things have got that where 12 years ago I was able to break the ClimateGate scandal in the online section of the Daily Telegraph, and where I frequently wrote about the evils and dishonesty of the environmental movement in a range of publications including The Mail, The Express and The Spectator, there is now not a single mainstream media publication in the UK prepared to take a principled stand against eco-fascism. As I wrote recently in one of the very, very few print publications in the world still prepared to stick its neck out, Switzerland's Die Welt Wosch, the climate industrial complex has grown so large and powerful it is now too big to fail. Impervious to logic, reason, or any kind of cost-benefit analysis, the climate gravy train is a behemoth which crushes all before it, and which drowns out with its shrill wailings the voices of sensible, decent, informed scientists who want to debate the issue with common sense, proportion and factual evidence. And the real purpose of the eco agenda is the same as it has always been. To feed the greed of a parasitical Malthusian elite which despises ordinary people and which, masking its bad intentions behind a cloak of environmental righteousness, uses green issues as a way of expanding and entrenching its power. This is why they turn up at these planet-saving events in their squadrons of carbon-belching private jets and their fleets of limousines. Because they want us to know how little they care for our good opinion. To remind us that we are the little people and that they are our masters now. Oh, and for those few of you unfamiliar with Ephesians 6:12, Here is the relevant passage which explains exactly what is going on at COP26 and in the geopolitical world beyond. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Got it yet?